불합당함. My English not so good. So maybe you might need to pay extra attention. So I hope I can deliver the message to what I want to deliver. Yeah. First of all, I would like to sincerely express from the depth of my heart that all of you finding time to come here to visit LDC, to be part of our family. So and I'm very, very happy to meet all of you, and I am very, very inspired, very, very inspired that that in a young age, in a such a young age, that you have an interest to come to know about monk, to come to know about Buddha, to come to know about Rupas, the statues, to come to know about to come to know about spiritual practice, to come to know about spiritual life. It is something amazing. It is something valuable. It is something, you know, there's no specific word to express how precious it is for in our life, in your life. And you will appreciate, you will definitely appreciate when you grow older, when you grow older, you will definitely appreciate the time or the moment that you spend for the spiritual practice. So, I would like to inspire from this simple monk, I would like to inspire you. Always try to bring some spiritual life in our day-to-day life, or in our schooling life, university life, after that our working life, our relationship life, then our retirement life, then even at the time, you know, everybody will die. Everybody one day have to leave. You know, even that moment, as Buddha said. As Buddha said, as many people experience in their life, at the time of our departure to next life, or at the time of departure from this life, one of the most helpful, one of the most comforting, one of the most reliable companion is the spiritual practice. One of the most reliable companion is the spiritual practice. Then, spiritual practice is necessary. Spiritual practice is important. Spiritual practice is always needed in our life, because when we are alone, when we feel down, when we feel sad, when we feel fear, when we neglected by friends, when we are get into any kind of difficult situation, spiritual practice is the one who will be right there to support us, to give us a comfort. In very initial, will give us comfort. Then will give us protection. Then will alert us to be more wise, to find to not to give up the life, not to give up just because of, you know, the fear, the difficulties, the suffering that we face. Rather, we bring a lot of encouragement. Rather, we can able to totally transform that fear, that suffering, that loneliness, that failure into a happiness. And I'm not saying I'm a good practitioner, but I experience it in my life. You know, I'm not a good practitioner, I'm just a simple monk, but I experience it. The how much spiritual practice can ever do, you know, how much the knowledge of knowing Buddha, how much the knowledge of knowing Buddha's advice or Buddha's teaching, you know, how much the benefit that I receive, I experience it, and I experience in my life. It is most wonderful thing that you can experience in your life. It is, you know, Buddha and his teachings, his advice is the best protection, is the best companion. The companion which never deceive you. The friend that will never deceive you, will never disappoint you, you know, will always support you, will always be with you, especially when we are in bad situation. You know. So that's about Buddha, and that's about Buddha's teaching, and that's about called spiritual life. You know, so then you become wonderful person, then you become happy person, then you become somebody who call the life so meaningful. Then at any stage, even the death comes, you will die happily. No regret. Without any regret in life, you will die happily. You know? So like that. So that's about Buddha Dharma. That's about Buddha Dharma. So I hope you get my message. Okay? Thank you. So then, in Buddhism, there's a various schools, there's various assertions, various theories, and various kind of schools. Whatever and how many number the school is, but all the Buddha's teaching came from one origin, which is from Siddhartha, the Gautama Buddha, the Shakyamuni Buddha, you know, who born in Lumbini, Nepal, and who is originated from India, Kapilvastu, and he was a prince, and the king, his father, who is one of the most successful, most powerful king in that time during in the war, and he have all the temporary, you know, the conditions for the temporary happiness. You know, he's in one of the most wealthiest palace, and he is one of the most handsome guy, and he is one of the most intelligent, you know, and he can achieve anything he likes. Maybe he can achieve even more than what he want in this very war, you know. In any way, he went through the experience of childhood in the palace, and gradually he even went through the ordinary, you know, educational life. Then gradually he went through, including the relationship, the marriage life. He even get married, you know, and he even have a child, you know, one boy. Then after that, through his experience from the childhood up to his adult, that he finds the every single human being, including every single living being, including ants and cockroach, cockroach, including cockroach, searching for one thing, happiness. Searching for ultimate happiness. Searching for everlasting happiness. Searching for long-term happiness. You know, never one happiness, wanting happiness for short time. Nobody wants that. Happiness, long-term happiness, great happiness, everlasting happiness, which is simultaneous, which is in the instinct, which is in the nature of every single living being. Every single living being. And he established, and he established through his experience, first this, you know, wanting happiness, and at the same time, do not want suffering, do not wish suffering, even for a slight moment. Nobody appreciates, including ants and cockroaches, do not appreciate or do not want suffering, even unpleasant suffering, even for 1 second, 1 moment. So then, he realized the wanting of every single living being, the happiness, which is everlasting happiness, which is great happiness, which is true happiness, which is true, real happiness. And he labeled that as a Buddhahood. He labeled that everlasting happiness. He labeled that big happiness, great happiness, true happiness. He labeled as a Buddhahood, enlightenment. He labeled as enlightenment. So then, how to get there? How can able to actualize that everlasting happiness? Or either you can say, how to actualize Buddhahood? Or in another word, how to become Buddha? How to become Buddha? So then, the first thing he realized, we must be contented of, we must detach where we are, who we are, and what we experience. We must renounce, we must detach, and we must let go, we must put aside, or we can say we should purify it, we completely wash out. He established renunciation. So then, physical aspect of renunciation, cut hair, become monk. So this is just physical aspect. So if you want to become a monk, if you wish to have everlasting happiness, it's not necessary need to cut hair, but it's necessary to renounce. It is necessary to renounce, it's necessary to detach, it's necessary to not to hold so tight of things that you grasp, the things that you attach, things that you feel angry towards, things that you feel jealous, things that the competition and all this, you know, try not to hold too tight. Just relax. Loosen. The heart of holding, grasping, loosen it. So that's the step of getting into renunciation. It's not necessary to have to cut hair. But he showed the aspect of entire, example of renunciation. cut hair, you know, renounce the hair. Why do you need to cut hair? In our life, one of the objects we attach the most is hair. Think carefully. Think carefully. In our life, whatever it is, we never realize until today. Maybe. Think about it. We might be thinking there's something else actually we attach more. But within our physical body, within the whatever, we attach the most is the hair. Attach the most is the hair. So you analyze, you check. The most is hair. And we bring the attachment of others within our whole physical body, the attachment which provides others to attach you, others to gain desire you. The main figure is the hair, not the nose, not the eye, not the face, not the body, it's hair. Think about it. It's a new kind of word you hear, but think about it. So it's today's new discovery. So you analyze how it works, whether it's true or not. You know, it's you to check. You see. And we do spend a lot of time about our hair. We do spend a lot of money for our hair. And we do worry so much about our hairstyle, isn't it? You know? Like one single long, if you want to cut is too short. You know, this way also is difficult. That way also difficult. This way also difficult. So it's more trouble, you know, more troublesome than in many of the, you know, the possessions that we deal with day to day life. So anyway, so this is just one simple, you know, the outer aspect of renunciation, but it's not necessary. The essence of the actual meaning of renunciation is to detach what? Detach we call the suffering world, you know, detach the ego, detach the attachment, and including object of attachment, you know, detach the object of anger, which is your enemy. You know, don't hold too tight, say, you are my enemy, you are always my enemy, you know. Like, always remember, always remind yourself to see that person as your enemy. You know? So such and such, whatever disturbing objects, whatever disturbing subject which is your mind, try to learn to relax. Try to learn to loosen the grasping. Try to learn to loosen the tightness of your, you know, you kind of establish this is like permanent, you know, like so tight. Anime is always anime, you know. Your boyfriend is always your boyfriend, not necessary. Today is your boyfriend, tomorrow might become your enemy. So don't hold so tight. You know? If you don't hold so tight, if boyfriend, something happened, he won't hurt you. You see, it won't hurt you, you see. So what hurts you is your grasping, because you are not renounced, because you are not letting go, you know, your attachment is too tight, you know. So be relaxed, try to learn to be acceptant. You call it accepting? Accepting, you know, learn to accept. In Dharma words, learn to accept the effect of the karma. You know, many things, you know, in our life are played by karma. You know, played by karma. We might hope something, but we might not achieve that. We might hope something to gain. We might not achieve that. We might hope something not to gain. That might come into our life. And I normally say that karma is like 50% is responsible of the karma, and that karma or that action, karma means action. That creation action is the creator is not outside. The creator is inside. It's your own attitude. Your yourself is the one who creates. You know? The 50% is in your hand, right there. whether to actualize the resultant of the karma or not is based on how you create the condition, how you actualize the condition. Let's say that you have the karma to graduate very stunning colors, very stunning, like a very stunning color of achievement in your school. Yeah, but even 1 year left, if you don't study, even how smart you are, even karma is there to for you to, you know, be very stunning. But somehow, you never study, and at the end you will fail. You might not get the degree. You know, so the 50% is the homework to study properly, and 50% is there is a karma. So since 50% is dependent on karma, we normally say that Buddha Dharma belief is every single existing, every single things that come into your life is a creation of karma. And the creator is not outside, created yourself. And condition also one of the aspects of karma. But the condition is in your hand. Karma might be created at the previous moment of yourself. And the condition is in the present moment in your hand. So whether one will actualize the result, good result or bad result, is dependent on the present moment, whether you create the right condition or negative condition or wrong condition. So something like that. So anyway, so Buddha renounced. Then after that, he leave the palace. Then he tried to search for the path, to search for the solution for him to be successful in his journey to actualize everlasting happiness, to gain the lasting happiness or to become Buddha. So then he realized that it's necessary for him to engage into the live a life with the mankind, live a life with ethical mankind, which is live a life with loving kindness, compassion, you know, loving kindness, compassion, and you know, to live a life of loving kindness, compassion, and do your very best to bring benefit to others. Even though, you know, after he left his palace, he had no possessions. He don't even have a proper robes to wear, but his heart is 100% dedicated to serve others, to benefit to the society, to bring benefit to the society. So even while walking, if he see farmers, he start to, you know, express. He start to, you know, give advice, which is called give them a solution to be happy. If he see, even he see butchers, you know, pass by on the road. If he see butchers, he give advice to the butchers to stop killing animal, and gradually, you know, to able to come into a right path, right attitude, compassionate, then gradually to obtain the happiness. Yeah. So he's been traveling like that. Then at the same time, he always, instead of investigating outside, he always investigate his own mind, always investigate his own attitude, whether his attitude is ethical or not, whether his own mind, way of thinking, way of physical action, way of speaking is ethical or not, is respectful or not. Do my thought arises to you know, think of harming others or you know, benefiting others. If he realized, arise a thought of harming other, then he immediately, you know, stop that thought. Then he start to change the thought, and try to, you know, think again and again, to habituate, to make his mind as a habit to think of benefiting others. If his way of working, is harmful for others, then he tries to change to make sure that become very, you know, aspect of very humble, you know, always smiling to others, and always try to, you know, assist others. So in Buddha, when Buddha was on the training the path, if he see any trainer, you know, in India at that time, most of the heavy loads, you know, the human carry with a wheel, two wheel and carry. But even in Malaysia, do you watch Little Nonya? Little Nonya. It's about the Malacca, yeah? It's something to do with Malacca, Singapore, you know, a long time. Japanese in Japan. You know, in there, there's some of the you know, all the foods and, you know, rice they carry on, you know. So, in the during Buddha's time, I did watch, but a short one, very nice. I don't understand, but there's no English, there's Chinese speaking, I think. Chinese speaking, isn't it? So there's some subtitles, so I try to, you know, it's very, very, very touching, very, very moving. And that movie shows, you know, the I think the Little Nonya, isn't it? It's like so compassionate and so tolerant and so courageable. You call it courageable? You call it, you know, very courageable. And how much hardship she went through, she never gave up her life. You know, I remember? And she never gave up her life. And at the end of the, and even though such a hardship, you know, she go through, but she always remember her ancestors. She always remember the kind people. You know, at the end, even the harm givers on the roadside, you know, start to like her and start to help her when she need help. That's called the good karmic return. You know, you are honest, you are very compassionate, you help others. When you are in bad time, then people come and help you. So that's called the karmic return. And so that movie shows very clear. Then at the end of the day, again I go to the last jhana, the last chapter. So then you know, she built, isn't it? She built such a beautiful house. I think in Malacca, isn't it? Beautiful house. It's, you know, with got a bird nest. You know, she still keep the bird nest. You know, the beautiful house. You know, even though went through such a hardship, but just by keeping the bird nest, you know, the birds inside there, it shows how compassionate she is. How compassionate she is. You know, how kind she is. You know, then if you have a kindness, honest, you know, and benefiting to other, even how hardship you go through, at the end of your life, you will be the super, you will be the number one. You will be the number one. So anyway, I think after that, I think it's quite unpleasant stories I think happened with her, but until then, it's, you know, it's a. You know, you can learn how to be courageous from that movie. I mean, that's one example. So, like Buddha, what I'm trying to say is, Buddha, when he walked, if the trailer or whatever, you know, is a old man or cannot carry, so then his physical, you know, physical movement is immediately going to help. You know, such kind of like a physical manner. You know? So he live a life like that. Then the speech. He will never offend people. He will never use harsh words. All the time, respectful words within the friends, within the family, or within anybody. You know, whether it's a stranger, whether it's your enemy, whether it's your friend, always use respectful speech. You know? So that's how he you know, he. Then he went into meditation, like a 6 years meditation on compassion. We call bodhicitta, we call emptiness, you know, he went into a very strict retreat, very strict retreat, very strict practice, you know. Then after that, Bodhigaya, you know, if you are interested to know about the central land, most important holy place in the Buddhist world, is Bodhigaya, is in India, Thailand, Malaysian, Singaporean, Taiwanese, Sri Lankan, Burma, all Buddhists, they go there and visit the place. It's a wonderful place. It's a very powerful place. So in future, if any of you are interested, it's very, very wonderful to visit. So Shakyamuni Buddha or the Siddhartha, he obtained the Buddha in Bodhigaya. That's one place called Bodhigaya, under the Bodhi tree. So I don't know, you also call it a Bodhi tree? Bodhi tree. So Bodhi tree. So you know, so he obtained enlightenment in Bodhi tree, under the Bodhi tree. Then after that, nobody requests his advice. Nobody asks him to teach. So then he went into a jungle again to continue to do his meditation. So then one day the Brahmins blow the conch shell over the Dharma wheel. You know, there's a wheel. There's a kind of like a chakra wheel. It's kind of like around like this, you know, handle. So then request Buddha, that Brahmin was inspired by his meditation or his behavior. So then request this Siddhartha, who is just enlightened, to turn the wheel of Dharma, means teach Dharma, and teach Dharma to this world, teach Dharma. So then he was accepted to teach. Then he was walking through this one holy place called Varanasi, Saranath, also called as a deer park. So then while he was walking, then he met the five Brahmin, it's like a kind of like a sadhu, five Brahmin. So then immediately, due to the past karmic connection, in the past lifetime, they have a connection. Instantly, these five Brahmin was inspired to give advice or teaching from the Buddha. You want me to shorten, or you want me to tell the story of how Buddha and these five Brahmin in the past life they meet together? It's up to you. If it's been too long, then I better cut short. If you want to hear the story, then yeah. Or why not other time? Okay, maybe. Whatever. Okay. So anyway, there has a connection. Amazing, unbelievable, you know, the karmic connection in their past life. You know, it's unbelievable. And where their past life was meet, the place, it still exists today. It still exists. It's in Nepal. It's in Nepal. Called Namo Buddha. The place called Namo Buddha. You know, it's again very, very powerful place. Very interesting, very powerful place. So anyway, then Buddha revealed the first teaching. So then Buddha revealed the first teaching, and his first teaching was called the Four Noble Truth. Four Noble Truth, I'm sure. The way I can see is all of you already know Four Noble Truth. So that means if you know Four Noble Truth, you know all Buddha's teaching. If you know Four Noble Truth, you know all Buddha's teaching. And Four Noble Truth is the essence of entire Buddha's teaching. Essence of entire Buddha's teaching. And Buddha's teaching is about Four Noble Truth. You know, so anyway, this Four Noble Truth, you know, the suffering and the causes of suffering, you know, suffering number one, the truth of the suffering number one, the truth of the cause of suffering number second, and truth of the cessation is number third, and truth of the path number four. You know, so then they give an example. You know, and also Buddha taught the Four Noble Truths using the example of like a sickness and to find a cure. In order to find a cure, you need to diagnose what the sickness is. Without diagnosing exactly what the sickness is, you won't find a right medicine to cure. So to find to first establish what the sickness is. If it is a stomach symptom, then in order to total cure the stomach symptom or stomach suffering, then you need to even rid of the causes. So first establish the symptom or the suffering or the nature of the suffering. So then from there you find that in order to total cure you find the cause. So if it is chili, if it's gastric pain, the cause is chili, then you have to cut the chili, isn't it? You have to turn chili into chili, isn't it? So once you stop eating chili, you able to cure. So like that. So in order to, so then in first he tried to establish how suffering we are, in this samsari world, this suffering world, how suffering we are, So then Buddha then teach why we suffer, what are the causes, And he established the causes are like ignorant, not knowing what is right, what is wrong, not knowing what brings happiness, not knowing what brings suffering, and establish delusions such as anger, attachment, hatred, pride, jealousy, competition. All those are the causes of suffering. So he says, if you want to be free from all the suffering, you should abandon those attitudes. You should abandon those negativities, we call negativities, those illusions you should abandon. At least we start from now, make it lesser. So then, once you establish that the cause of suffering can be rid of, then you can able to establish deep in your heart, happiness is possible, and everlasting happiness is possible, and cause liberation is possible. So then he established the third noble truth. Then how that can happen? You continue to work on the path, and the working on the path is continues to reduce or continues to eliminate, deconstruct attachment, anger, hatred, jealousy, pride, and then the heart of harming other, gradually deconstruct. Then gradually construct loving, kindness, compassion, respect, ethical life, gradually construct. If you walk on this path, you will actualize called everlasting happiness, called liberation, or you can call it Buddhahood. So anyway, when Buddha was teaching this Four Noble Truth, he didn't use the word called Buddhahood. He always used the term called liberation. So this teaching, those Brahmins that were listening that time, is they are their mental strength and their urge is they are totally kind of freak out from this worldly suffering, totally freak out. And what they want is I must be free from this worldly suffering. I must free from what we call samsara. I must free from samsara. Whatever it is, no matter what it is, I must free from samsara. I must free from samsara. So like that. So that attitude, called the self-liberation, wanting to, gain the self-liberation, and practicing Four Noble Truths, to actualize self-liberation, I must achieve liberation, I must free. And that to actualize that freedom is called the Hinayana practice, or Hinayana path, or Hinayana, or Theravada teaching, or the Hinayana teaching. Hinayana teaching. So that's called Hinayana Theravada, that which broadly practiced by Thai Buddhist practitioner, Sri Lankan Buddhist practitioner, even Malaysian Buddhist practitioner, or even Nepal, India, and especially during the Buddha's time, most of the Buddhist practitioners are practicing this theory. Practicing, we call the Theravadan teaching or the Hinayana teaching. That time they don't call it Theravadan, they call it a Hinayana teaching. So then, there is a group of people, group of disciples. They understand how painful the suffering of samsara, But at the same time, they also see how painful you are, you are suffering in samsara, not just me. How painful you and you and you and you, every one of us, equally suffering in samsara, And that group of people realize, but all of us equally ignoring, don't know how to solve the problem, don't know how to actualize the liberation. So then, one or two volunteer raise hand, say, okay, Buddha. Buddha. I don't know whether they communicate like that or not, but I'm just acting, yeah? Say, Buddha, I would like to take some kind of pledge or some kind of leadership, based on your teaching, based on your Four Noble Truth teaching. I would like to take some responsibility. I would like to be the leadership that not just myself, I want to enlist certain number of community or certain number of beings. Or you can even say, all beings, doesn't matter, cockroach or snake or tiger or elephant, doesn't matter. All I just put in my group. I want to become Buddha, I want to be liberated, but I also want them to follow me. I want them to be my member. I want them to be part of my journey. So I will take the leadership. So then, due to that inspiration, then Buddha, Buddha went to, Buddha traveled to Vulture Peak. Vulture Peak, which is near to Bodhigaya, just now where Buddha obtained enlightenment. He traveled to Vulture Peak. He traveled to Vulture Peak. Then Vulture Peak means there's one kind of like a rock peak, look like a vulture. So they labeled as a Vulture Peak. So then Buddha was contemplating. Buddha was meditating, and he tried to. He is about to. Give the advice or give the teaching based on this group of people's requests. So then at the same time, the group of people request, then Buddha taught the second training wheel of Dharma. Buddha taught the Wisdom Sutra or Heart Sutra. Buddha taught the Wisdom Sutra, Heart Sutra, the Jingang, Xinjing. So Buddha teach the Xinjing, very famous, isn't it? Everyone of us knows. So very famous. So he taught that. So while he was teaching, somehow many gods also came to listen to the teaching. Many angels came down to listen to the teaching. And somehow gradually attracted many people to listen to that teaching. And somehow his voice, because he's already become Buddha, you see, his voice traveled to, almost like covered to three continents. Not just from Malaysia to America, but it's all three continents. The entire world covered with him, the voice. So then he focused on the stages of the path, is kind of a structure which the leadership, who requests to be the leadership, the structure for the leadership, how to lead, not just yourself, but also lead as many members as possible, you know, to the same goal, the journey for liberation. And that teaching is called the Bodhisattva teaching, the Bodhisattva path, the Bodhisattva, or you can also say Mahayana teaching that Buddha have taught. So Buddha have taught the Mahayana, Mahayana, either before is Hinayana, now he taught Mahayana, Mahayana. So then after that, he continued to give the third semester of teachings. Which is the intermediate teaching, which is suitable for the Mahayana practitioner, and which is also suitable for the Hinayana practitioner. You know, he present the teaching based on the different urge. You know, yeah. So then there's a group of people who say, in your teaching, you know, the first teaching, what you taught is that the most important thing that you must liberate from the samsara, you must obtain the liberation. And the second teaching you taught, not just you become Buddha, but you can also lead many others. But you said it will take three countless eons, you know, the journey. So the leadership have to manage for three countless eons to bring them to liberation. So there's no any kind of shortcut. Oh, then Buddha said, there's no such a shortcut. But if you can manage in your skill, there is some way. There is another way. But you have to handle properly. you have to manage it properly. It's not such a shortcut, but if you can manage properly, you can able to become Buddha even within this life, even within this very cushion. Then he taught the teaching called Tantra or Vajrayana. Then he taught the teaching of Vajrayana. So then he made very clear to those people who request the teaching, make very clear, without teaching of the Four Noble Truth, without practicing the Hinayana teaching, the rest of the teaching, no use. Without practicing as a heart of the practice, practice as a heart practice, the Four Noble Truth called the Hinayana teaching, the rest called the Bodhisattva practice, Bodhisattvayana or Tantrayana, Vajrayana, all are useless. No use, no power, nothing can bring to you. Nothing. He made very clear. Okay. So first thing, if you want fast, you make sure the teaching of the Hinayana, you know, take as a principle in your heart. In order to collect more conducive condition, be bigger hearted, greater hearted. Don't just think of yourself, think of others. When you think of others, you definitely will get more support, isn't it? You think of more others, you get more other support, isn't it? So you get more merit. So in order to do that, without practicing bodhicitta, without practicing compassion, without practicing loving kindness, especially without practicing called great compassion, means unconditional attitude of wanting to liberate entire living being from entire suffering and taking full responsibility by myself alone. I don't even need my brother or my sister to come along me. By myself alone,
take the full responsibility to liberate entire living being, my enemy, my stranger, anybody, including cockroach, to the liberation. And I will take this responsibility. How difficult it is, I will take by myself alone. By myself alone. They express again and again. By myself alone. If anybody want to help, welcome. But I will take the courage by myself alone. So Buddha said, you have to take this as a tool for you to success your journey in a most efficient way. Okay, then now you practice Daily Yoga. You practice Vajrayana. Or you can say you practice you can call Tantra, but now you know there's Hindu also practice Tantra, all sort of people practice Tantra, you know, many people, you know, many schools, many traditions, they practice Tantra. And sometimes they even misuse of this word called Tantra. They even misinterpret. You know. So I rather feel more comfortable to use called Vajrayana. Vajrayana. You know, Vajrayana. Because Tantra is like common word which you use in many good terms and in many negative terms also. Especially you go to India, you will find. The word are used for many different categories. You see. So anyway, then practice Vajrayana. So then he give the first Vajrayana semester or first Vajrayana what you call the teaching in Amaravati. That's one again in the one place in India called Amaravati. Amaravati. So he give the Kala Chakra. It is the Kala Chakra initiation. So then the initiation is called Kala Chakra initiation. So there's one place called Amaravati. So he gave the Kala Chakra initiation. And from that very on, he established the Tantric teaching. And Tantric teaching. So that's about the Tantric teaching. It has the ability of actualizing Buddhahood in the causal stage right now. It involves the self-generation, means through meditation, through emptiness meditation, through bodhicitta meditation, you yourself right now can become a deity. It's not a trance like that. It's not at all about trance. Trance, you know, that one. Not about the trance. It's not about trance, and it's not about you know, not about hooking spirit and putting into your, I don't know, brain or ear or nose or whatever, and not about that also. You know, it's about compassion. It's about emptiness. You know, emptiness is a very interesting subject again. Every one of you will definitely love the subject called emptiness. So next time if you have a chance, you can explore the books, learn about emptiness. Again, the tool of emptiness is one of a very powerful tool for us to distress. When we study, we have stress, isn't it? Later on, when you go to work, sure have a stress, isn't it? Sure have a stress. Then after that, get into a relationship, sure have a stress also. You know? Then we have to go through old age, sure have a stress. Then the death comes, also have a stress. So if you practice emptiness, is one of the very powerful method to distress. Very powerful method to distress. Until that you will find that no such a fear, no such a suffering, no such a problem. Until that you only find like a total blissful world. If you understand that deeply. No. But it takes time. It takes time. We are still young. Better work out. So he taught the called the Vajrayana. He taught the Vajrayana. So the Vajrayana, is come from India. Vajrayana is not come from Tibet. Vajrayana the origin is not from Tibet. Vajrayana is not origin from Mongolia or from China or from what do you call this from Korea. Because in earlier time, even in earlier time, in very, very earlier time, Korea was very extensively practiced Vajrayana. Korea, you know, it's shocking, isn't it? It's interesting to know. Korea is one of the places where well practiced Vajrayana. But today, almost like normal. It's almost like non-existent for Vajrayana practice. You see? So anyway, so Vajrayana practice is the interesting part of the Vajrayana practice is, as I mentioned earlier, there's so much involvement of emptiness. And there's so much involvement of great compassion. Then, and also involvement of so much visualizations. And again, I want to make clear, it's not about imagination. Normally, I try to differentiate imagination and visualization in two different categories, two different explanations, two different characteristics. So, Tantra or the Vajrayana involve extensive visualizations. And through that visualization, you can able to actualize Buddhahood by the help of emptiness and great compassion. You can become Buddha right this very cushion, or right this very moment. So that's about Vajrayana. So I hope I cover this subject. I supposed to speak a little bit about Hinayana, Mahayana, Vajrayana, isn't it? So I hope I didn't confuse you. It's quite clear. It's okay. Okay. So now here, one last small thing. If you want to get inspiration from me, as a Dharma brother, as a friend, if you want to get inspiration from me, we should. It's very necessary to learn Hinayana, Mahayana, Vajrayana, or without one, no liberation. Without one, no Buddhahood. Without one, no Buddhahood. No Hinayana teaching, no Buddhahood. No Bodhisattva teaching, Mahayana teaching, no Buddhahood. No Tantra, Vajrayana teaching, no Buddhahood. All three have to come together. So the Hinayana teaching we practice as a preliminary practice. Okay, Hinayana practice we take as a preliminary practice. Bodhisattvayana or the Mahayana Bodhisattvayana practice. We take as a body, the body practice. You call body practice? This is like kind of like, how to say, preliminary, then the middle one, then the resultant, what do you call? Body practice, yeah, something like that. And maybe not necessarily say main practice, but it's kind of like a preliminary, body practice, okay, body practice. Then the Vajrayana practice more as a resultant practice. So all the anyway, all these three teachings have to come together and take these three teaching into different kind of stages as a preliminary, as a body practice, as a resultant practice. So take into our life in that kind of, you know, if you are practicing Dharma for one moment, 1 minute, so the teaching of Hinayana take as a preliminary, teaching of Bodhisattvayana as a body, this teaching of Hinayana as a preliminary practice means the renunciation, the Four Noble Truths teaching, take as an inspiration for oneself to practice. Practice what? Practice great compassion. Practice what? Practice emptiness. Emptiness?
Great compassion.
Great compassion. So then, resultant practice means, you know, then you try to merge the great compassionate practice and the emptiness practice into the merge of more efficient to actualize the benefit of compassion to the being through visualizations, through daily yoga, through involving deity, through involving deities. So that you will have a kind of extra energy to deliver the benefit of great compassion to the being. So that's what I mean. That's what I mean. Then, again, another most important thing is, whenever we encounter different friends of the Buddhist different friends, some are from Hinayana practitioners, some are from Vajrayana, some are from Bodhisattvayana, Mahayana, you know, then those who don't have a knowledge about Vajrayana and the Mahayana, then the Hinayana practitioners start to criticize. Say, oh, Vajrayana is no good. Or Vajrayana might be just Lama Zen. Maybe Tibetan people only practice. Might not be Buddha's teaching. So I try to tell you this is the source. I was mentioning you the place where Buddha taught, the teaching, what he taught, and why he had to teach, and when he taught. So all these three things I deliver to you. So it's very important to keep yourself, keep in your heart, and try to bring benefit to the society, to cleanse the misunderstanding, even in case any misunderstanding there. Then you meet Vajrayana practitioner who don't have a knowledge, who never practice Dharma, then they will criticize Hinayana. Oh, Hinayana is very low practice. Oh, no use, nothing. The other practice Vajrayana. That means literally show the practitioner has zero knowledge of Dharma. So you just
you go off.
You just say,
walk off.
So anyway, it's just a job. Rather you sit there and explain to him. Rather sit firmly, explain to him. Dear brother, it's not like that. You know, it's not like that. Without Hinayana practice, how are you going to become Buddha? You know, why you practice Vajrayana? You want to become Buddha, isn't it? Or you just practice Vajrayana to announce people that I am Vajrayana practitioner, or that much, or what? You know, so if your purpose is to become a Buddha, then you must practice Hinayana. Also, Hinayana practice, Hinayana teaching also. What the Hinayana teaching is? Four Noble Truths. You know, so you explain. Then clear the misunderstanding. In Bodhisattvayana, the Vajrayana, oh, compassion is good. Only compassion enough. Only compassion enough. Only Sinjin Polo Mito enough. Only Sinjin enough. Four Noble Truths, no need. Vajrayana, no need. Talk, 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 talk. Sinjing, talk. Abandon Hinayana, Vajrayana. Also, it's wasting your time. Well, having such a wisdom, why not you integrate all the teaching together and you become Buddha faster, isn't it? Okay, you are there to save them also. Oh, necessary. You know, you at least don't criticize. You know, all are same Buddha's teaching. All teachings are taught by Buddha. And all teachings are taught for you and me also. So you better practice. And why you need to practice? Oh, the reason is this. Then you can explain. Especially we have a lot of energy because we're young. So we can move here and there, you know. So it's good to be busybody about this. You know, good to be busybody about clearing the misunderstanding. It's how wonderful, isn't it? Instead of creating misunderstanding, clear the misunderstanding. Take the responsibility to go into society, clear the misunderstanding. In order to do that, one have to learn the whole understanding of all these three teachings. Thank you. If any question, welcome, if you are not too tired. Thank you. And please enjoy water. Can I suggest? Okay, this last one. I've been suggesting again, I've been carrying on and on. So I have one last suggestion. Normally, when we offer, when we drink water, when we eat food, you know, we can do wonderful things, you know, to accumulate good causes, to accumulate causes for to bring success in our life, both spiritually and as well as in your study, as well as in your works, relationship, whatever. So one, there's a two object that where you can accumulate merit. Two objects. One is Buddhas and one is the sentient beings, mother beings. Mother beings means beings. You know? One is Buddhas, one is the ordinary beings. These are the two objects where we can collect merits, where we can collect good karma. You know? So whatever we eat, whatever we drink, we can collect merit from both sides. In the same moment, simultaneously. So how to do that? You know, if it is convenient, then you even chant the prayer. If it is not convenient, just simply express from your heart, oh, this is immortal nectar. You know, it is most blissful nectar, most blissful drink, most blissful food or whatever, inexhaustible. So I'm offering this to you Buddhas or any divine beings or whoever you have respect. You're offering to all of them. So then at the same time, I'm making this as charity also. You know, as Buddha have said, in our body, in every single of us, in our body, has 84,000 bacteria. 84,000 bacteria, you know, is living in our body. 84,000 is not a small number. 84,000 bacteria. And those 84,000 bacteria depend on for us to drink water. Drinking water. If we don't drink water, some of the bacteria will die. If we don't eat food properly, the bacteria will die. If we don't do exercise properly, the bacteria will die. You know? So, by drinking enough water, by drinking water, or by eating food, in fact, is also survival, also feeding those bacteria. And it's bacteria, you see? So another thing is, it's all about our mind. So now simply think. I'm making, you know, just think that, what, 84,000 bacteria in the body, and one sips of water, you know, I'm making charity. So easy to make charity. So you don't need to wait to work and earn money and then only make charity. No need. You can start right now. Say, so I'm making charity. I'm making charity for the 84,000. Start from 84,000. Start from you. You are also one of the things, isn't it? Start from you. Then the bacteria in your body. Then not only that, now apply compassion. Now great compassion. Applying great compassion, teaching of great compassion. Not only that, you see, 84,000 is just a limit number, we can count. But outside there, the being numberless. Numberless being there. So now here, I want to liberate numberless beings from entire suffering. Their poverty, if those who don't have a shelter, I want to bring them a shelter. Those who don't have medicine, I want to bring them medicine. Those who don't have protection, I want to bring them protection. Those who don't have a friend, I want to be their friend. Like that. So therefore, I have to be healthy, strong, healthy, you know, fit, healthy. Right? So if you don't drink enough water, how to be healthy? If you don't eat proper food, how to be healthy? So I want to bring benefit to numberless things. Therefore, I'm drinking the water. Therefore, I'm eating food. Therefore, I'm going to sleep. Therefore, I need to wake up. Therefore, I need to go exercise. Therefore, I need to go to school. Therefore, I need to go to movie. Therefore, I need to drink water like that. So every single thing that you do, all accumulation of merit. So easy. It becomes so easy. And this is not just me, human being, saying. And this is the teachings of the Buddha. And why Buddha, without any reason, without no reason to lie to us. He is trying to benefit us. And he is one of the wisest person happened in this world. And there's no reason to lie to us, isn't it? So this is his teaching. This is his teaching. So it's certain. So now, there's one there's one paper, yellow paper. There's a prayer to bless or offer. So why not? It's kind of a card you can put in your wallet, and wherever you go, until that you memorize, you can look at the paper. Once you memorize, if it's inconvenient for you to express, just think in your heart. But sometimes our world is very funny. The moment you close eyes, people think you are strange. There's something wrong. The moment you chant something, people think you are something wrong. So if you are eating food in a group, you also have to respect them, isn't it? That also dharma, isn't it? So therefore, isn't it fast, you know? In your heart, you offer. In your heart, you make charity. Who get the benefit? You get the benefit. So this card is very, 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 very good. So you keep as in the wallet, so it's very, very good. So today, now, why not we all come together and chant together and offer our drinks, okay? Okay. So normally, when we offer foods or drinks that which is about to consume, then normally we open. So for you, you can open like that. So it's kind of gesture, you know, it's like open like that, you see. So that. Okay. So you might sound a bit funny, but there's a tune that you can put together, you know. So you can follow me and chant. Lama mantra, Sanskrit mantra, is represent Buddha's body, speech and mind. And this mantra has the power, this mantra has the ability, just by reciting three times, it transforms your drink as a nectar, transform your food as a nectar. So whatever drink that you drink, whatever liquid that you drink, and whatever food that you consume, it becomes like medicine. It won't harm your body. You know, so this mantra has that power. Because in today's world, you know, even water, you know, like bring a lot of harm to our body. Even water, you know, drinking water because of impure or maybe the mineral is not there, you know, then a lot of chemical. So difficult to get a pure food, pure drinks. And it is very harmful for our body, you know. So now that's why today's time, so many cancer, you know, the cancer become is more almost like how to say, more common than the flu. You know, the cancer become like more common than the flu. Unbelievable. So there's more new diseases because everything become contaminated. You know, our mind become contaminated, our foods become contaminated, our dreams become contaminated. So therefore, we need practice. We need this kind of blessings, you know. So therefore, we chant Om Om Shri Gan. It naturally transforms, and it will at least will not harm you. But as the teaching says, it will in fact will transform as a nectar. Means it will become a medicine for you, helpful for you. So like that. Okay? Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. And also maybe we can keep the purification mantra. The basket. The address, the yellow one we have. So there's a magazine, which is in fact is we call it outdated. So, but it's quite interesting to, you know, see some articles, you know, it's quite interesting. So, I'd like to offer to everybody. So please enjoy when you go back and read. Okay. Then also, there's one booklet, small booklet. This booklet inside contains some mantras, which is purification mantras. So if you have any kind of discomfort, or if you feel like, you know, guilty of something, some wrongdoings, and then just recite the mantra. That will help to purify it. So it was advised. It was Buddha's own word, but it was recommended by our the founder of this center, the guru, Lama Sobhanbachi. So he recommended, and we this was in fact printed by our Kase Hospice. We have a hospice center, so they printed, and it was well benefited. So, you can use. So would you like to come? As a knowledge, so then maybe you know, can say something. Otherwise, as a person like me, just how you treat as a friend, say. But as a in other circumstances, like you meet a mandir, you meet sanghas, then always it's very nice to put your palm together like that. So then bend a little bit, If it's okay, and always, you know, the thumb is always good to put inside. And in India, it's saying that whether you're Buddhist or not, you can differentiate from the hand gesture. Once you put like this, means you are non-Buddhist. Once you put this one in, it's a Buddhist. In India, in earlier time, because Buddha. This is a gesture of you know, putting a jewel in your holding jewel in your hand and offering to the Buddha, or signify the coalition or the cooperation. I mean, how to say, the unification of emptiness and bodhicitta. It's like a two wing, you know, bird. One wing cannot fly. Two wing can fly. The two wings can become Buddha. So that's why putting these two together, bodhicitta and emptiness together, it will create the karma, it will create the merit for you to actualize in your heart. Very good question. Thank you.
So just something like that.
So I make very clear, as a mean person, no need. Same. I also feel more comfortable to treat like a friend. I'm one ordinary person. But in another part, when you meet bandhis, when you meet sanghas, by putting palm like this, it's so much merit, so much benefit. Not only to sangha, I mean to any senior, your teacher, anybody. Any question will come. Anything, not necessary dharma, but in whatever in your schooling life, anything that I can be assist to give some dharma advice, welcome. Very good reminder for me, and your question will clarify a big clarification. So emptiness, didn't use a word called empty, isn't it? It's called emptiness. Instead of using empty, rather use the word emptiness. So I don't know about adjective or word, whatever, but I always feel there's an extra meaning of you know, putting few words, nest, emptiness. This is my own inspiration for myself. Empty means zero, nothing, no entity. Emptiness means in fact existing. Let's say your friend is emptiness, means your friend must be there. But if I say your friend is empty, means no friend. Okay, so emptiness, just one word of one word meaning of emptiness is called dependently existing. Dependently existing. If you have a fear of being alone, you have to depend on your friend. Your friend and you coming together, fearless. That is called emptiness. This emptiness means existing. Emptiness do not mean empty. Emptiness do not mean empty. Emptiness do not mean nothing. Emptiness means something. Emptiness means existing. or emptiness means the existing, the correlation of cause and condition. No, conditions. If you get fear, you need a condition of being somebody around, isn't it? So that itself we call which is in the nature of emptiness. So this is a very complicated subject. We need a long discussion on this. But I just want to assure you. I totally agree what you said, the second part. My nature, I want somebody around. You know, because if I'm wrong, I get fear. I totally agree with that. In your nature, you must need somebody. And good to have somebody. Yeah? So I agree with that. I don't mean shouldn't have somebody. Be empty of somebody. I don't mean that. Okay? You get on me? Okay? Thank you. Then the emptiness itself, next time we can, you know, in future, if you are interested, we have to do a long discussion. It is very interesting, but we have to discuss more. Otherwise, there's a danger of thinking emptiness means empty or nothingness. But in fact, emptiness means existence. Emptiness means collision of cause and condition. Thank you. Okay, can you say? It is true for some people. It is not necessarily true for some people. And it is not only to Lama, even in the ordinary people. Some people do see their future life. Some people do recognize their future life. You know, as long as you believe in next life, to find out your next life, in fact, is not a difficult thing. Very easy. You don't even have to be Lama. Very easy. You don't have to be a Lama. Very easy. So there's one. Very easy. So how to find your next life? Who? What kind of next life are you going to take? Just close your eye, look into yourself, within you. who I am right very moment, what kind of attitude I have. If you are if you are ethical, compassionate, loving, kindness, contented, your next life either will be a wonderful human being, either will become, you will go to pure land. The fact is, you will become somebody very wonderful person or very wonderful being. And you will not be in the hell, you will not born in the hungry ghost, you will not born in the animal. By looking inside, somehow you're very unhappy. You're always, somehow that you're totally disturbed. Somehow there's so much anger. Somehow that you can't tolerate or getting jealous about your friend. Somehow, you know, it's like entire positive door is closed, closed. Then, that's it. Your next life, you know, if that is too strong, you'll be in hell. If that's lighter, in Holy Ghost. There is, but very light, anymore. So like that. So, as I mentioned earlier, the positive, like you are compassionate, you are loving, you are contented, you know, you are very positive, and you're always very compassionate. If it's compassionate, if your compassion is so strong, next time you will. Next life, you are in pure land, and you are next life you are liberated, Buddha. If that compassionate is, or the positive, the compassionate is there, but it's not 100%, not 100 degree, compassion. Then you might be just go to, let's say, the ordinary pure land. Then slightly lesser, then you will born in a precious human being, like you, but even better than you now. Like you, and who have a faith in Dharma, who understand karma, who have respect, who have compassion. But because of the level of compassion that one you have, necessary, but you will be even better in who you are right now. Because that compassion will be developing, will develop. Now you already somewhere there. You will develop, you will greater and greater and greater. You know, how much day and months or years left. You will do better. Well, less than that, then you will be at least one kind human being. Not very kind, but one kind, okay human being. Then, so less than that, then human being but very naughty, you know, very naughty human being but very naughty human being. Yeah. Then lesser than that, then maybe most likely you were born in a god and demigod realms. Normally we think that do better. God regards with better life, but in fact, the most fortunate, the life within the sixth circle of rebirth is a precious human rebirth. What we are, what we have. You know? So this is how to check your next life, and you can check. Yeah, okay. Interesting answer for you. If we have a karma to meet next time, if we have a karma to meet next time, I have a movie about that, which I have a movie, and myself involved in that movie. It's a documentary movie to a search of one of my master's reincarnation, rebirth. It is a pure documented, no special effect, pure documented. It is a work of 7 years, and last month it was chosen one of the best documentary for Berlin Film Festival in Europe, and it also was chosen one of the good documentary in the Toronto film festival. It was a well responded documentary movie. If we have karma next time, it's up to you. And of course, depend on little of my time. It's up to you. You can contact our director. And we have Peter there who communicate with. You know, Peter is the one that who in charge of dealing with the connection with the people. So if you wish, you tell him, and we will find a time to show the movie either in your university or either in our LDC here. We will show the movie then. That will answer your question. Okay, we will do that. Okay. You come. Also, you can do that. Yeah. If individual, maybe some of the people might not have interesting, or some maybe more people have it might be interesting. So we can send to e group so that you can come at that time also. So hopefully we will show soon on morning screening. Okay. Sure. Yep. Very tough question. I think you better ask Dalai Lama. Seriously, I think better ask Dalai Lama, because I don't have ability to judge who is the right, who is wrong. But I believe, I have faith. I'm somebody who respects Dalai Lama. No. I believe that whoever he certified, whoever he choose, that I would believe that is the right one. Other than that, I have no ability to judge who is right. Thank you. Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you. As for the movie, you can go to Google and type Unmistaken Child. There's a what we call trailer. YouTube, Unmistaken Child. The movie's name called Unmistaken Child. Come, all right.
So if any of your friends want, you can share. Okay?
Very much to everyone. Yeah, and you're very welcome to come back anytime. We are open from Tuesday to Saturday, yeah, 10 to 6 p.m., 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. So if you're free, you'd like to drop by, please come and visit us. Otherwise, we will put your email on our mailing list and receive messages from us regarding activities. That is up to you. Okay? Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you.